Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with David Symington. He'll be telling us about his experiences with disability life. So tell me a little bit about your experiences in disability life.
Well, it's been many years of I was injured in 1975, age 19. I'd left home at an early age and came out to D.C. and worked for a couple of years and then have a diving accident at Wrecked Beach in Vancouver. So it was quite a 180-degree turn in my life in terms of losing all my physical abilities, more or less. So about 6 years of rehabilitation, I would say, to get to the point of really moving forward, going back to school, and eventually working in the post-secondary field for 25 years or so. And so, yeah, in terms of disability, there's been many adaptations, I guess, quite obviously, in my life, in terms of lifestyle and activities, but I've managed to find a way back into music and traveling, and I mentioned work and school and social life and relationships. So it's sort of been a constant evolution.
So can you tell me a little bit about the influences that were the greatest for you, the things that helped you most in your recovery?
Well, you know, I think when I look back on it, I mean, now I'm more involved in mentoring and peer programs. And I think that as much as at the time they weren't terribly organized when I was injured, a lot of things were just starting in terms of accessibility movements and integration and all those things. I still had my mentors. They may have been more silent ones that I watched, and I saw how other people had adapted and done things successfully and were able to do things that I had never dreamed, I guess, that I could possibly do. Things that we take for granted for the most part, like, you know, driving, having a job and living independently and all those things. Certainly living independently and managing my own care was one of my bigger challenges, and took a very long time. I have an injury that is, I guess, gives you sort of, you could easily choose to be dependent and have your care done and have attendant care and all this stuff. But I guess at that age, independence to me was probably priority one. And so, I mean, at this point in my life, I do have attendant care, and I've kind of transitioned into what I used to call a dependent lifestyle. But now it's funny how you change your perspective. I don't really think of it as dependency, because I'm almost 60, and I think with age and everything, all that work of looking after my own care becomes a liability, really. And so, although it was difficult to make the transition, I'm certainly happy that I have, because, again, it's opened up a life of a of more independence, being able to travel a lot, that kind of thing. So I think, yeah, mentorship throughout the years, and, you know, meeting Sam in late 1984, 1985, Sam Sullivan, that is, that, you know, people like that that you make connections with that have similar desires and goals, you know, serve you very well to achieve them, obviously.
So, in all your experience, what's been the greatest success moment for you?
Well, boy, that's kind of hard to pinpoint, but, you know, I guess the thing that comes to mind immediately early on was, you know, that I dropped out of high school. I was kind of a kid that was in a lot of trouble. That's why I chose to leave home and move out to Vancouver. And, you know, it's funny, at the time of my injury, I thought it saved my life. I sort of an immediate feeling that I had, because I was quite reckless and, you know, involved in drugs and alcohol and all that, and had a number of close calls. So I guess in a way, you know, I took that opportunity to go back to school, and so probably graduating with my first undergraduate degree was a huge moment in my life. Getting my own apartment was incredibly significant. And, you know, learning how to drive. That's the earlier stuff. I think later on, 10 years later or so, really focusing on trying to get back into music. I mean, obviously getting jobs that really meant a lot to me and prove something to myself was very important too. But figuring out a way to get back into music and finding people that were like-minded and brought a certain, I guess, playfulness and joy into my life that, you know, I've been doing ever since. Sometimes more than others, but these are, you know, there's so many things in life that aren't necessarily attached to disability, like, you know, being in good relationships and that sort of thing. But they still mean something, because if you can, that, I mean, in regard to disability, because at the time I was injured, like I said, I wasn't expecting a whole lot. I was quite angry and suicidal at times. So yeah, that you can achieve these things means that you have a pretty positive, optimistic outlook on life, that you work towards things instead of sitting back and letting things happen and hope for them, you know.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the strength and disability life, what would you say?
I think, you know, to... I think this idea that, which I discovered in music, not so much in playing, but in writing, that I had this quite stubborn independent streak that felt, you know, I should be able to write my own music, produce my own music, play all the instruments, and really kind of be isolated with it, that I was trying to prove something to myself. But it maybe took me a little too long, but I did realize eventually that that wasn't even what I enjoyed. What I enjoyed was the interaction with people, the creation of things with people. And music is a really good indicator of that, but I think it reflects on life as a whole. But to really, if you struggle like I did with things like, I guess, a certain amount of shame, that asking for help is a negative thing, to really try to push through that and connect with people and realize a lot of us are having the same struggles and we need each other to make our lives really happen and work successfully. So I think getting involved in a peer group or having a mentor and just being in the community, trying not to isolate yourself, is incredibly important.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
What really spoke to me during David's interview was the fact that he said his injury saved his life. Most people would consider that statement to be very ironic. But the fact of the matter is, having a disability, having an injury or a condition, can be an eye-opening experience. Not only does it change how you look at what's possible, it changes your thoughts on what should be appreciated, what should be ignored, and just gives you the opportunity to take in life. Say to yourself, there's so much beauty, so much goodness in the world that is worth living for. And you start to live in a new way. You start to adapt to the things which have been modified for you. And you start to find that you have a strength you didn't know was there before. And that's very common in disability life. Finding your true potential as a result of being changed from who you were to who you could become. Fact is, people think of disability, they think of limitations, they think of, oh, you can't do this that you could do before. It's not so. It's simply a matter of a new way of thinking. It's a matter of looking at something that you love to do and saying, I can't do it in exactly the same way, but can I still do it? Can it be made possible? And you get a creative enough mind, you get enough innovative ideas, eventually you will find that things are possible, that things can be made to happen, potential can be realized, and people can achieve in the world. A person with a disability is never to be underestimated, because the best thing you can sometimes do for them is to say, that's impossible. They'll run out, they'll find a way to do it. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Statistics say that 1 in 4 people will be the victims of bullying, while others say that everyone has been bullied at some point in their lives. Statistics aside, if you're being bullied, you're not alone. The affiliated anti-bullying website, bullyingcanada.ca, knows just what you're going through and can help you out. They can lift the weight off your shoulders and give you some useful tips on how to stop the bullying. What you're going through isn't a normal part of growing up, and it isn't right. Something can be done to make it stop. If you need to talk, bullyingcanada.ca will be there.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from David Symington, shared his insights and his story of disability life. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Don Whittefield from Chris Adaptive Adventures. So tell me a little bit about Chris Adaptive Adventures.
Sure. So Chris Adaptive Adventures is a nonprofit organization that's located in Kelowna but serves any of the surrounding areas, and in fact, right across Canada. We provide outdoor adventures, adaptive adventures for people with disabilities, and our primary activities are kayaking, cycling, and hiking. And then we do also have an adaptive travel program, which it consists of any variety or multi-day backcountry trips, basically. So we do anything from an 8-day backcountry trip to the Bowron Lakes, which is a really popular but very, very remote kayaking trip, which is an 8-day kayaking trip up in northern BC to, you know, sea kayaking out on the Gulf Islands, to Cathedral Park, to you name it. We have the resources to get people out to these places, so...
So, when you say resources, is there any modified equipment you use for these individuals with disabilities?
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of our inventory is adaptive. So, it depends on the activity. For our hiking program, we primarily use the Trail Rider, which is an adaptive wilderness chair. We have some other chairs as well. That are quite rugged and that sort of thing, but primarily use the Trail Rider for hiking. For our adaptive kayaking program, we have
we use tandem passats, like tandem kayaks. So we have a pilot in the back. We have pontoon systems that we put onto the back as well to make the boat almost untippable. But we also have, we use things like one-armed riggers, which would be a piece of equipment that is attached to the front of the cockpit where the person with a disability is sitting, and the kayak paddle is attached to that piece of equipment. And then, so for example, if someone, say, suffered a stroke and they only have use of one side of their body, then they can still go kayaking and actually contribute to the motion of the activity by paddling with their one arm, but the boat would hold the paddle, sort of thing. I'm not sure if I've explained that very well, but
yes, it's quite.
Yeah, and then recycling, we have tandem recumbent trikes, we have upright trikes, upright standards, so that are mostly tandem bikes. So we have a pilot that would be piloting the person with a disability, and then with the recumbent bikes, the participant would be able to contribute again as they can. And if a person isn't able to move their legs or use their legs, or if it's painful to use their legs, then they don't need to pedal, because all of our bikes are independent chain systems. So the person that is piloting the bike is can pedal without the other person needing to. But we always try to encourage the participant to contribute however they can, be it like, so if they are able to pedal, we always encourage them to, or if they're able to paddle in the kayak and that kind of stuff, we always encourage them to as well. So we always like everybody to contribute how best they can.
So are there any challenges in setting up an accessible wilderness program such as this?
Oh, there's always challenges. I think there is in any kind of nonprofit setup. But I mean, this is what we do. We overcome barriers. We break down barriers for accessibility to the outdoors for anybody with any kind of ability. So I think cost is always a challenge, as far as like the cost of the program, finding funding to set up a program like this, finding funding to access or purchase the adaptive equipment, which is not cheap. You know, I think there's always those kind of challenges, but I, you know, we come from a mentality that nothing is impossible. There's, you know, obstacles, but we just break them down.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time with Chris, has there been any one success that stood out for you?
I think every day we have successes. I think every trip that we offer and we go out on is a success, because it's allowing somebody with an impairment of some sort that's disabling them in some way to get out in the outdoors. And I'm an able-bodied person that loves the outdoors and loves helping people with disabilities reach the outdoors. So I think honestly every day is a success when we can get someone outside.
So if you could send any one message about the need for everyone to be able to appreciate the wilderness and what's out there, what would you say?
Just get out and try. It's incredible the emotional and mental I don't even know how to say that. The value of the mental health benefits of being outside are invaluable. So getting outside and enjoying it means, you know, you might, if you can take a break from your job and get outside on your lunch break or whatever it is, and go for a walk or go sit in the park and eat your lunch or whatever it is, or go kayaking or, you know, whatever that looks like, do it, because it's, you'll come back to work, or you'll get back to your activities for the afternoon more focused and more energized and with a positive attitude. And I honestly can't say enough about being outside. I think that the benefits of being in nature are endless.
So If you could see anything added to Chris's program, what would it be?
If I could see anything added?
Yes.
I think, our base programs are very solid, and I mean, we've got a really great group of volunteers. I think having a full-time volunteer coordinator would be awesome, that we could, you know, pay someone to coordinate the programs and have full focus on recruitment, retention, and recognition of volunteers would be incredible. We do want to expand our programs because we know the value of our programs. And we know that, you know, there are people in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, all the way across Canada, into the States even, that could benefit from our program. So geographical expansion of our program would be something that we would definitely welcome, because we definitely know that the program has positive results, and there are other people out there that could benefit from it. So
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure, thank you for having me.
Of course. Incredible, isn't it? Just the adaptations, the innovations that can be made for a person with a disability. A rudder system that operates with just one hand. A wheelchair that can go on hiking trails. Years ago, these things would have been considered impossible, impractical, too much of a financial cost. But the fact of the matter is, it takes one mind just saying, I believe it is possible, to make real change. And it's programs like these that are saying to the disabled community that you don't have to hide from the world. You should get out there and embrace it. There's a lot to see and a lot to experience. And there is no good reason why you shouldn't be a part of that. There is nothing that can hold you down except an unwillingness to try. But that's where it all begins, folks. When a person with a disability says to themselves, however reluctantly, yes, I will try something new, I will get out there, and I will be a part of something, then they start to realize that the opportunities aren't nearly as limited as they might seem on the surface. Athletes with disabilities are the greatest example of this to me. Many of them who acquire an injury say, I'll never be able to play my sport again. Untrue. You just learn to play it in a new way. You learn to channel the strength that you found within yourself through your injury, through your recovery. That strength remains a part of you. You take it, you use it. And for these people getting out there into nature, they're doing it because they want the experience. Not because they want to say to the world, I have a disability and look at what I can do. Is it a remarkable thing? Yes, it is. But for anyone who gets out there and conquers nature, so to speak, that's something we can recognize. Because it does take a lot of strength and a lot of character to do it. Not just for a person with a disability. Too many times we as a society say, oh, it's great that a blind person did that, or a paralyzed person did that. No, we should say to ourselves, it's great that a person did that. It's great that people are living with strength and without fear, taking chances just as people. A disability is simply one part of the puzzle that makes a person's life what it is. Fact is, no matter where it's set in, or what life was before that. It's simply one variable. You could wake up tomorrow and find there's a new treatment, a new advancement. And you wouldn't go back to being necessarily the person you'd been before. Reason being, once you see disability life, the strength and the community within it, it changes you. It opens your eyes to new possibilities. You don't say to yourself, something is blanket impossible. You start looking at, can it be modified? Can it be adapted? Can some sort of change really be made? And as soon as you stop thinking in terms of black and white, possible, impossible, you see the area of modification. You start to grow as a person. You start thinking in a new way. And that's a lot of what disability life is about. The fact is, organizations like Chris, they think in a different way. They don't just say, can we make a nature trail? No. They say, can we make a nature trail that can be enjoyed by anyone? And they find a way to do it. It's not always going to be easy to find the right adaptation. And yeah, society has to keep pushing forward in this sense. But I maintain there's always some room for improvement. There's always something that can be done for a person with a disability. Things are only impossible until they're not. When someone questions, is this really the way it is? Is all disability life is a medical model, a set of facts on paper? Or is there human strength? Or is there a desire to adapt and to grow and to learn? That changes the equation, doesn't it? Once you recognize that it's more than just 1 + 1 = 2, when you start factoring in the possibility that a person might adapt to their circumstances, that they might grow beyond what we all think is possible, that's when you have remarkable moments. That's when you have people with disabilities doing what was deemed impossible. One example that's always stood out for me on this show is the Achilles Foundation. They got a group of amputees and disabled veterans together. They got them to run the Boston Marathon, an accomplishment that most people would say can't be done. There are very few able-bodied people capable of doing this successfully. But this group took it upon themselves, and they said, we're going to do it. And they succeeded. Commitment to making things better is the key. And that's what I love to hear. During Dawn's interview, she talked about her hopes the program could expand, that new programs can be added to what they're doing already, new opportunities be created. That's what it's all about. Never resting on our laurels, never saying we've done all we can do. Because it's just not the way it is. For a person with a disability, every new opportunity represents a new moment, represents a chance to find some joy and some happiness in their lives. That's what we're all looking for, folks. Whether we have a disability or not, we're living for those moments that give us happiness, that give us courage. We're living to live, not to overcome the pain and to say, I've overcome the pain. That's not why a person with a disability, especially an athlete, pushes themselves as hard as they do. They do it because it's what they love. They do it because being out there, having the experience, being a part of something you enjoy, is what life's all about, folks. And that's true whether you have a disability or not. It's about being able to appreciate the things in life that are good and beautiful. And I maintain the world looks like more of a beautiful place when we know that individuals are being given opportunities, regardless of their physical condition, their ethnic background, what have you. That all people be given a chance to enjoy what this world has to offer. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.